The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
A lot to that. And so in studying the scriptures and learning about King David and how he handled himself as he went through different stages of his life, again, we can take a lot of lessons from that. So we're going to continue on today. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Father, lead us into your wisdom by your Holy Spirit. Lead us into your truth that you want spoken today. Father, open our hearts and minds at how we can apply your truth to our life today, tomorrow, next week, next month, Father. Lead us in that wisdom, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I've been fighting a little cold thing. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. But you know when you're up here talking, you know, and you got a cough? Or how about when you're at a funeral and you're reading the scriptures and I'm about to cough? And then they have two poems I'm supposed to read. I don't know. Praise God. I mean, he manages all that, right? And so if I cough a little bit, well, I'll just cough on this thing here. So, okay, so we ended with, you know, David on the run. He kept sparing Saul. He kept, you know, honoring the authority God had. And I'm going to skip forward quite a lot. Guys, read. Read these accounts. There's so much. As I got into it, I said, we could do this all year, easily. But I really feel like we're to move to this next step. So I'm just going to summarize greatly here. So Saul and Jonathan are killed, okay? David is first named king of Judah, okay? Then he's named king over Israel after lots of fights and skirmishes going on. Lots of guys I skipped over. A lot, okay? I really did. And of course, he becomes king of Israel as God had said from way back here, right? So like Hannah was saying, the promise was here, but boy, there's a lot of things that happened before the fulfillment. And he had to stay faithful. He couldn't walk in fear. He had to hold on to what God had promised, right? We can learn from that in and of itself. But let's skip forward. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 22 through 25 first. Now, David is attacking the Philistines because when he became king, I mean, they really came on. They saw that as an opportunity, right? And in the account before this that I'm about to read, you know, God says, hey, should I go attack them? And he says, go straight on, attack them. I'm with you. Okay. Oh, now we're going to start in 22. But after a while, the Philistines returned again and spread out across the valley of Rephaim. And again, David asked the Lord what to do. Guys, don't stop asking him. Don't stop asking him. Do not attack them straight on, the Lord replied. Okay. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Okay, that right there, I wanted to include that. Don't assume with God. That's the first thing. Don't assume with God. You know, we've preached that before with Moses when he was to strike the stone for the water. He was to speak to the stone the second time. Because he disobeyed God, he couldn't go into the promised land. Guys, just because you're in a situation that's similar, you know, we're attacking the Philistines, we're fighting them. He told me head on, okay, head on. No, this time he said around, and then he said wait for my signal. Yeah. Again, that those spiritual battles, we've always said, submit to God first. Get the plan. Get the plan. Just because you think you know the plan, just because you've handled a similar situation in the past, and was successful. See, success can lead to complacency if you're not careful. It will. You always got to be leaning into him saying, what do I do, God? What do I do here? This may not be the same. Don't assume with God. Every time he attacked, he went with the Lord. Every time. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel 7. I'm going to read 1 through 17, okay? I've skipped a lot, guys. Don't skip it. Go back. But I'm trying to bring some highlights that I think the Lord really wants us to talk about today, in this hour, in this season. 2 Samuel 7, I'll read 1 through 17. When King David was settled in his palace, he had taken Jerusalem, by the way. That's why they call it the City of David. When King David was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king summoned Nathan the prophet. Remember, Samuel had passed. "Look," David said, "I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." Okay. The Lord was with David. Nathan knew that. He was very encouraging to King David, right? Verse 4. But the same night, the Lord said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in? I have never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. I've always moved from one place to another with a tent and a tabernacle as my dwelling. Yet no matter what, with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's tribal leaders. The shepherds of my people Israel, I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house?'" Verse 8. "Now go and say to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth.'" And he did. We're still talking about him today. "And I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't suppress them as they've done in the past. Starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod like any father would do. But my favor will not be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from your sight. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever." So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in the vision. David's heart was right. You know, he's saying, "Look, I'm living in this, and we've got the ark of God, which represented the presence of God with the people, right? I need to build a house for you." And this has come up to me so many times. You know, you come up with a situation, you see something, and the first thing I usually think is, I should build a house for God. I should do this for God. I should, right? When our question should be, should I? It shouldn't be an I should. It should be, should I? God, should I? I mean, and you know, even Nathan, his prophet, said, "Hey, whatever you need to do, go do." Now, God came in and said, whoa, hey, that's not his calling. You see, David was always confident in his calling. He was. And his calling was to bring Israel together as one people and to chase the enemies and the giants out of the land. It was. And that established Jerusalem. That established that kingdom. That established the line of Jesus. That's why he said forever. Because it established the line of Jesus. You understand that, right? Because he came from the line of David through his mother, right? Okay. And he was always confident in that. But he wanted to serve the Lord. That's his heart was to serve God. He wanted to do that for God. And how many times do we see something? We see a need, right? And so our thing is, well, I should do this. I should fill this need. And that's a good heart. But guys, before we walk out in our compassion, we stop in obedience and say, should I? What's my part to play? You see, that wasn't David's part to play. His part was not to build the temple. That was his son Solomon's part, right? And that's a huge lesson for me. Because so many times, you know, I collect information all the time, right? And even today, you know, here's my biggest thing. And with the whole COVID stuff, this may not sound good. I was taught, I don't care how sick you are, get up, go to work. It don't make any difference, right? Just do it, right? Because I should. And so, and that was a good teaching, don't get me wrong. I mean, really, I mean, it instilled some things in me. And so today, you know, she's been telling me all week, now listen, you don't need to preach. I'll preach. We'll do this, right? We had people say, I'll take care of the funeral. And of course, my first initial thing is I should do this. And yet I'm preaching this message. Should I? Guys, that's a struggle. It is a real struggle. And guys, obedience is greater than sacrifice. He doesn't need me for anything. He wants my heart. Are we people after God's own heart? Yes, we are. We really are. And because we are those people, we hear him and we ask the should I. And so I woke up this morning. I said, should I? And he said, yes, you should. I said, yes. Because I always feel better when I come here. I do. I feel better. You guys make me feel better, right? So here I am. Praise God. And as we look at the callings he has for us, you know, he gives you a calling, right? It's up to us to make our call and election sure. Each of you have a calling. I've told you that. Now, how do we make that call and election sure? Lord, should I? He'll give you giftings. He'll give you passion for it. But now it's a, should I? How do we do that? And then he'll plug you in. Yeah. Right? He'll plug you into a local body. Because how does he accomplish his work on this earth? Through the church. Yeah. That's his plan, right? Because we come together, we support each other, we encourage each other in each calling, right? Yeah. Amen. And so, as we sum up here before we really get going, David was confident in his calling and in the Lord. He truly loved the Lord and he pursued God, right? He never allowed bitterness in the face of betrayal from the people closest to him. He never allowed bitterness to get into him, right? He had a lot of reason to kind of hold a grudge, right? He didn't do it. In the account, he didn't. He was always honoring to God and the authority and the relationships he had. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. He didn't seek the approval of men, but of God alone. I mean, his wife, Michael, when they came into the streets, he's dancing almost naked, praising God. Oh, that's not a becoming of a king. He wasn't worried about it. He was before God doing what God was telling him to do, right? He wasn't being dishonoring. He was doing what God told him to do. He wasn't seeking approval. You know, so many times we seek approval from each other, but should I, right? It's always should I. All right, so we've got all these good things, these good attributes, right? All right, 2 Samuel 11. Okay, we're going to get to some very good lessons. You know, as I've lived my life, and I really have sincerely, because I'm with people all the time, I try to listen to their story, because everybody has a story, right? And I've intended throughout my life, as I listen, to listen to the older people. I really have. When I first started practice, I treated mostly World War II veterans. That's who I was with. I have heard stories from Okinawa, North Africa, Europe. I mean, and I'm so thankful that I got to spend time with those men. Because, boy, they were men. I mean, man. And just to hear them speak to me and to learn, you know, character traits, learn things, you know, gain that information. But one of the things that the Lord showed me is I could learn so much by listening to people's mistakes. Not in an accusatory way, but in a, oh, man, I better watch. That was a good thing that he, and they were on, these people are honest with me, you know. Yeah, I did this, I shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, oh, I better not do that. That's a good thing to tuck away, right? So here we go. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, underline that in your Bible, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, what was his calling? He united Israel and to be a fighter, right? To chase out enemies. Yet, where was he? At home. Underline that. Verse 2. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was. And he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Okay. There's some information here. A, this is where, and it says, when kings go to war. Was David a king? Yes. Was he at war? No. He sent his army. Do you think he stayed home because he was afraid? No. No. I've pondered this. I've talked to the Lord about this. And one of the things that, again, as I've observed, and I asked the Lord to protect me from this, when you've walked in your calling for a number of years, there's a tendency to get a little complacent, okay? You know how when you're young, you want to go whip stuff? I mean, really, you want to conquer, right? We're going to do it. But as you lose a little hair, it's do I really want to? I'm not scared. I don't know if I want to. You know? I've been there, done that. There's just that tendency. I want to stay fresh with the Lord. I want to stay sharp. You know what I mean? I want to be like what Jim says, 120, you know, Caleb in the Bible. You know, let's go whip them. I mean, you know what I mean? And guys, do you know how we do that? Routine. In him. We stay plugged in. We have a routine with him. If it's time to go to war, we're at war. We're in position. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important to be in position. And if you feel out of position, that's okay. You say, Lord, what is my position? How do I get back in it? The fact that you're noticing you're out of position is a good thing, right? Because David wasn't noticing. He was noticing other things, right? Guys, being out of position opens up the door for Satan to do lots of stuff. Because when you're out of position, you're in disobedience. And it isn't that God leaves you, you're leaving his will. And when you're outside of his will, that's when trouble starts. Okay? For all of us, right? Okay. Let's go on. Oh, he found out too. This was somebody else's wife. Okay? All right. Then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Verse 5. That was important. Move forward. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent a message to David saying, I'm pregnant. Her husband was away at war. Are you guys seeing some trouble here? I mean, we've seen it from the beginning. There's trouble, right? Okay. All right. Verse 6. Then David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along and how the war was progressing. Then he told Uriah, go on home, relax. David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace. He wanted him to go home and sleep with his wife so he could cover up the pregnancy. Okay? Guys, I'm telling you, this is the Bible. I'm reading out of the Bible. But Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, what's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away so long? Uriah replied, the ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab, my master's men, are camping in the open fields. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing. That's a pretty good heart, huh? Yeah. Well, stay here today, David told him, and tomorrow you may return to the army. So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk, but even then he wouldn't get Uriah to go home with his wife. And again he slept at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. Out of position. Eyes focused on something they weren't supposed to be focused on. Doing something you're not supposed to do. Out of position led to sin. Sin leads to more sin, guys. Did you know that? Have we ever been down that slippery slope? Yep, we all have, right? And same David, by the way. Remember all the last 4 weeks or 3 weeks I've been teaching? Same King David, a man after God's own heart. Man, that's hard to believe. Not really. Sin nature is there, right? It is so vital that we stay tuned into him all the time. Because I want to be in position. I don't want to be over down this road of sin, right? Because what does sin lead to? Death. And it does. Let's keep going. So the next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver. Did you hear what I said? David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to give to him. The letter instructed Joab, station Uriah on the front lines where the battle is fiercest, then pull back so that he will be killed. So Joab assigned Uriah a spot close to the city wall where he knew the enemy's strongest men were fighting. And when the enemy soldiers came out of the city to fight, Uriah the Hittite was killed along with several other Israelite soldiers. Then Joab sent a battle report to David. He told his messenger, report all the news of the battle to the king. But he might get angry and ask, why did the troops go so close to the city? Didn't they know where there would be shooting from the walls? Wasn't Abimelech, son of Gideon, killed at Thebez by a woman who threw a millstone down on him from the wall? Why would you get so close to the wall? Then tell him Uriah the Hittite was killed too. He was saying, listen, I did what you told me. You may get mad, but I was doing what you told me. So the messenger went to Jerusalem and gave a complete report to David. The enemy came out against us in the open fields, he said, and as we chased them back to the city gate, the archers on the wall shot arrows at us. Some of the king's men were killed, including Uriah the Hittite. Well, tell Joab not to be discouraged, David said. The sword devours this one today and that one tomorrow. Fight harder next time and conquer the city. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. When the period of mourning was over, David sent for her and brought her to the palace, and she became one of his wives. Then she gave birth to a son. But the Lord was displeased with what David had done. Remember, the biggest thing, guys, in the church, and guys, I'm talking to people in the church. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about us. Being in position is critical. I mean, guys, listen. Adultery isn't good, okay? Is that a surprise to anyone? No. Heavens no. Oh, by the way, talk about conspiring. And I mean, all the nasty stuff before murder. I mean, do you see where all this led? And it all started with he was out of position. Kind of complacent, maybe not plugged in? Because I can guarantee you the Lord the whole time was saying, stop. What are you doing? Don't do this. I'm pretty displeased with you, big boy. And guys, this is a man after God's own heart. You know, Jim started by saying, and what he was saying is, God remembers our sins no more. Our sins are far as the east is from the west, and that's true because of the blood of Jesus. That is true. That is true. Are there consequences to my sin? Yes, on this earth. She has a baby. And I don't know where I'm preaching next week. That baby dies. God tells David, that baby's going to die. David pleads with God to save that baby's life. I need to tell the whole story. But my point is, for today, there was a consequence. It was death. Okay? To that sin. Guys, no matter, it's every, his mercies are new every day, right? But also, the, how do I need to say this, Lord? The intensity of your calling is also new every day. Intensity, the importance, the vitalness of your position is important every day, right? Every single day. We don't get to take a day off with God. And that's not a bad thing. That's a safety thing. That is a rest thing.
Yes.
You know? It's not like I can say, I'm going to rest with God. I'm not going to, you know. No. He is my rest. Whew. He is my peace. I don't ever want to rest from Him. He is my rest. My intensity needs to be with Him all the time so that I'm in position for whatever comes. And not only am I in position for whatever comes, I'm not out of position for what my own stuff will lead me to. Right? You know, planting seeds in the flesh always reap that harvest in the flesh, guys. And of course we look at this and it's like, this is bad. Well, guys, all sin is bad. Right? Sin is sin. I mean, we can look at that one and say, you know, adultery, murder, all this stuff. Guys, to God, sin is sin. And disobedience of being out of position is sin. Now, here's the key to take away from. A, let's not be out of position. But B, if we find ourselves out of position, let's get back as quick as possible. Lord, forgive me. Admit it. Quit it. And then forget it. Move on. See, you'll find, I'm going to teach one more week. I have to. I know what happens next. But guys, the thing is, David didn't forget who he served. After all his messes, after his mistakes, that he readily admits, I'm getting ahead. He admits it. Yep, I did it. And he kept serving God. Were there consequences? Oh, yeah. I already told you that David's heir was going to build the temple, right? Who do you think God chose? We know it's Solomon. Who was Solomon's mama?
Bathsheba.
He didn't hold it against. Do you understand our God? He really forgave them when David, hey, I did this. Forgiveness means, hey, it's over. Let's move on. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve, people. I had a man tell me, and he was struggling with stuff in his history. And he says, David gives me hope. Guys, that's the God we serve, right? Listen, He does not remove what the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That's what it says in Romans. He doesn't remove your calling just because you messed up. It's still there, but are you choosing to grasp it and go on? That's up to you. It's there. It's there. I don't care what you've done. Today is a new day. We can repent today. Today. And man, we're ready to roll. With all the power, all the giftings, it's all there, right? There may be consequences, earthly consequences to my mistake. But guess what? God, he's still with me. He's still for you. You still have favor. That's why we say you are the favorite, right? I think that's where I need to stop today. We're going to probably finish next week. I was going to finish today. But there's two. I got to go to the next step in this. I have to. I hope this helps, though. I hope it helps us. And I'm not, guys, if you walk away kind of feeling a little bit condemned, that's the wrong message. Satan's working on you. You need to walk away encouraged, saying, I don't care what mistakes I've done. God is ready to meet me where I'm at. Forgive me and take me to the next step. He's ready. He's ready. But as we're walking with him, Lord, keep me in position. Keep me tuned into you. I want to follow you. I want to walk out the calling I have. And let me tell you, in a multitude of counsels of their safety, having people around you praying for you, praying with you, being plugged in to a body like this is vital. I'm just telling you. Because you know what? He didn't take any counsel when he did all that stuff. In fact, I imagine Joab was thinking, what's up? What's the deal? I'm pretty sure he had some people going, what's up? Right? Let's stay plugged in together. Are you going to say scripture confessions? Jim and them are going to do the scripture confessions. We're going to pray after. Tuesday night, Bible study on marriage. Marriage. Princess Bride. I haven't ever done that in a service. But guys, it's going to be, I'm excited. I know we've never done this, have we? Guys, this is going to be an important study. If you can't be here on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, if it's real snowy, guys, understand something. Like the other day, don't come, get online quickly. Don't even play the ice game, especially after it rains. Don't play that game, okay? Get online. We'll get it up, okay? But it's going to be important. If you can't make it, something's going on, that's cool too. Watch it. We're going to get it out there. I'm going to try to make sure we get good notes out there for you, reading it. And remember, this is for everybody that's married, everybody that's ever been married, everybody that wants to be married, and especially those who don't want to be married. This is for you. I'm just telling you. It is, because all of these lessons we're going to take from God's word will help us, okay? God bless you guys. Thank you, Jim Mister. You're going to come close us out. We'll see you Tuesday night.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Morning, I'll rise and sing.
love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, oh, you are the peace.